Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Who picked up a hobby this year? Okay, who attempted it? Well, there's still time, and now might be the exact right time, given it looks like we'll have to hunker down for the remaining months of 2020. If you're not already a hobbyist, though, it can be hard to know where to start, and even harder to get yourself to stick to it. So we've enlisted the help of someone whose hobby is collecting hobbies. Libby Siegel is a writer, a TV production manager, and the Hobby Hoarder. That's the name of her website and blog. She started when she challenged herself to spend a year trying new things, running, hiking, acting, drawing, whatever. And that was in 2012. 8 years later, she's still at it. And she joins us now to talk about her experience, as she describes it, being a professional amateur. Libby, welcome to All of It.
Hi, Allison. How you doing?
I'm good. So full disclosure, Libby and I have been around the world together. We worked on a TV show where we went to what? We went to Norway and France,
we went to
Israel.
Scotland.
Wales, all over the place. So,
yeah.
But I one day you just dropped that you're like, oh yeah, I have this website and I do this thing. I hoard hobbies. I just try all kinds of new things. And I've never forgotten it. I mean, we were working, so we never really got into it. But now's my time to ask you all the questions I wanted to ask you in the back of the van. So,
awesome.
You started this hobby hoarding. You challenged yourself to try new things. Why did you decide to give yourself that challenge?
Yeah, I mean, it was back in 2012 when I started the project, but I would say it started even before that. I had been kind of in a rut, and I wanted to just get out of that rut, so I started trying new things. I saw a TED Talk that was like, try new things for 30 days or try one thing for 30 days. I did that. I did drawing for 30 days, and I really loved it, and then came across stand-up comedy, and I was like, wow, I really like doing this. And what I realized about stand-up comedy that I liked was that I didn't necessarily love the stand-up comedy. I love just trying something new. So a couple months later, I was like, what if I just try something new every single month for a year, or every single week, I think it was. Yeah, every single week for a year. And I started making a list of 52 hobbies and then just started doing it. And it really took me out of my rut and got me going again.
Listeners, have you picked up any new hobbies during the pandemic? Are there any hobbies you're thinking of taking up? How have you maintained your hobby? That's a big one. Give us a call, 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280. We've already got a call. Let's go to Zeph from Brooklyn on line one. Hi, Zeph. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi.
Hi. What did you pick up?
So I started watercolor painting, and it's been super calming.
What made you pick watercolor painting?
I saw a couple social media posts, and I'm a photographer, architectural photographer, so I've started doing architectural watercolors. As a lesson in patience.
A lesson in patience. There you go. Do me a favor. Would you post one on Instagram if you're an Instagram person and tag us so we can all see your work?
Sure. What's the handle? Do I tag you guys on?
At All of It, WNYC. Folks, you can go there too and also DM us any of your hobbies. Zeph, thanks for calling in. So Libby, why did you decide to try a lot of new things as opposed to committing to one thing?
Yeah, so I had always been interested in doing new things. I think, you know, as a kid, I was always trying a new sport, always, you know, hitting the pavement running or rollerblading or whatever it was. And I just never liked sticking to one thing. So I was like, let's see what I can try and what I'll like. I figured maybe there was a hobby I could potentially come across and love and want to keep doing. But also the idea of hobby hoarding is exactly what it sounds like. It's collecting hobbies you can go back to for kind of moments like this where we're kind of stuck inside, there's not much else to do, and you're looking for something to do. So if I had this collection of hobbies, I could always go back to them. And I do. I constantly go back to them. You know, I'm always dancing around the living room. I'm dancing in the kitchen. I'm taking dance classes. And I took a series of those while I was doing the Hobby Hoarder. Through this time in COVID, I've been drawing. I've been doing photography. I've been getting out hiking. Anything I can do to keep my mind busy and off, like, all the other stuff that's going on in our world just keeps me going forward.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. This really came out of a period. You were in a period of, in all seriousness, you were depressed. And you really needed some help.
Yeah, it was a tough time. I wrote about it on my blog. I had gone through a pretty serious bout of depression. I believe I wrote a post called The Great Escape about how I was feeling suicidal at the time. And I would say that the Hobby Hoarder saved my life. And being able to find new things to do, like I said, it took my focus off of everything that was going on around me. It gave me something to really concentrate on and get quote unquote good at, even though I was really bad at a lot of the hobbies. but it gave me something to look forward to each week. It gave me something to, you know, get online and research and be excited about. And, you know, life should be exciting. We should be living our lives. And I do worry right now. I think a lot of people might get into a bout of depression. We're going to be home. It's going to be dark. It's going to be cold, but there are things we can do. And it doesn't have to be jumping out of an airplane, right? It can be picking up a piece of paper and drawing something. It can be painting something. I love that watercolor painting the guy was talking about. I've never tried that. It's time to try that, you know? So there are tons of things we can do right now.
My guest is Libby Siegel, otherwise known as the Hobby Hoarder. Listeners, have you picked up any new hobbies during the pandemic? Are there hobbies you're thinking of? How have you maintained your hobby? Give us a call, 646-435-7280. Oh, our phone lines are full. Let's go to line two, Corrine in Manhattan. Hi, Corrine. Oh, Corrine dropped. Well, Corrine, the note says, mastered sourdough baking and became a personal trainer. I really would love to know how those are linked. Let's go to David on line four. Hi, David. Thanks for calling in.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, it's David.
Hey, so David, what did you pick up over the past few months?
Well, I've been doing collage for a couple of years and leading some workshops in the neighborhood and at a long-term care facility. And then the pandemic started, so I quit all of that. And I've just been doing it from home and going to various bookstalls on the sidewalks and buying catalogs, art books, and then just tearing things out, making postcards. I made Day of the Dead cards. I made Halloween cards. And I've since found a stash of 10 8-ounce Lilly Italian coffee tins.
Huh.
That I'm covering and making, like, stash boxes. And I've been making candles. This place looks like I could do a Stevie Nicks video with those wind machine and candles and white doves. And it's just, it takes me out of the box and into another box. And I'll do it for a couple of hours, and then I'll study some Spanish, and then I'll go in the kitchen and futz around the kitchen and get something ready for lunch or dinner. And I just kind of rotate among mostly these three activities and taking care of Barbarella the cat. And I find it's a great stress controller.
Sounds like you've got a plan, David. Thank you so much for calling in. Brian on Twitter writes, Libby, you like this. I now realize I am a hobby hoarder, from photography to cooking to writing sketches and improv acting. Who knew there was a label for people who always want to try to learn new things? So, Libby, what was your very first hobby you picked up or you tried?
The first hobby I tried was pole dancing. And I picked that one because it was something I knew people wouldn't expect me to do. I'm a bit of a tomboy. I play a lot of sports. It just wasn't something, you know, I would do. I was a terrible dancer growing up. So I knew that to make the Hobby Hoarder stick and to make it work for me, I had to try something that was completely out of my element. So I did pole dancing.
How'd that work out?
I was pretty bad. pretty sure I fell to the ground a couple of times. I was pretty sore the next couple of days. But what I loved about it was, you know, the day before I went, I had done the research on what I had to wear for pole dancing, which was like, you have to kind of wear like these skinny shorts and like a tank top, and you have to be really comfortable, and you have to feel like a little sexy. And that's just like not me. So I went to a store and I literally just took a bunch of stuff into the dressing room and just started like trying things on and taking photos of myself in the mirror to try and get like that quote unquote sexy feeling. And it got me really excited for the next day in a way that I wasn't like prepared for. I was just so pumped to go do pole dancing the next day. And I showed up and there were a lot of women who I think looked a lot better at, you know, what we were about to do than I was prepared to do. And I had a lot of fun. I mean, I was terrible. I was got terrible. There's a video on the blog of me like spinning around a pole, not well. But I had fun. And, you know, the thing about these classes is right at the end of the class, they're always asking you, do you want to come back? Here's a deal, right? And I was like very close to being like, yeah, I'm going to pole dance for the rest of the year. And I had to remind myself, no, you're going to try every hobby this year. And I was ready for that feeling at the end of every class to be like, yeah, I want to do this every day for the rest of my life.
That's so exciting. Like, how did you, you know, I think a lot of people would be embarrassed or might feel embarrassed to do that. How did you get over that embarrassment of when you know you're not going to be good at it, but you're just going to try anyway?
Yeah, I think that took a minute, right? I was like, you know, I'm going to walk in. I'm not going to be that good. I think what helped was I didn't know people in that class. Mm-hmm. There's something I like to say. I like to compare privacy to like this idea that you get off at a rest stop while you're driving across the country and there's all these public stalls, right? Well, when you use a public stall, it's a lot more private than when you walk into a room and it's just you and one other person, or you and just your own stall and someone's waiting outside the door waiting to come in, right? So, you know, I went to this class and because there were so many people in it, I realized I was able to kind of disappear into that. And I also, with that, took, you know, no one was looking at me. And that did take like 5 minutes to get over. I was like, oh God, everyone's going to see me. This is going to be terrible. No one's paying attention to you when you're in a class. They're paying attention to themselves. No one has time to pay attention to you. Not to be rude, but we all like have our own vulnerabilities and we all get embarrassed. But they want, if someone's at that pole dancing class, they probably want to be pole dancing and getting better at it. They don't care how you're doing over there. So just do your thing. And that's how I got through it.
My guest is Libby Siegel, the hobby hoarder. We have some great hobbies. The phone lines are full. Let's go to Abigail on line 6 calling from Manhattan. Hi, Abigail. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. So I'm a nurse practitioner at Morgan Stanley Children's Hospital, and I've been making mask holders with really cute beads for myself and my coworkers to really kind of cheer everybody up during these tough times, even making a couple stickers just to kind of give everyone just a little bit of cheer, and even to the kids as well, just because we can't have a whole lot of like face-to-face interaction. This is just one way to kind of bring a little smile to everyone's faces.
Abigail, thank you for calling, and thank you for the work you do as a nurse practitioner during this difficult time. Sam on Twitter says, my family has a long tradition of taking on hobbies, mastering them, and then moving on and abandoning the hobbies. We are woodworkers, knitters, painters, musicians, craftspeople, and we never get tired of learning new things. Let's go to Eric on line 3, who is calling from Bed-Stuy. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Allison. How are you doing today?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thanks so much.
What are you working on?
Nice to be on the air. So I'm a fine art photographer, and like many other artists in New York, I've been working for many years adjacent to my passion, but not directly in it. And also, like so many other New Yorkers, I lost my job at the outset of the pandemic. And so I took on what was a hobby for a moment of the antique, very labor-intensive method of collodion wet plate photography, also known as tintype, which is from the mid-1850s. And like I said, it's very labor-intensive, but I started taking my whole kit and outfit into the parks, specifically Fort Greene Park, in August, and turned my hobby into a full-fledged business. And I took a partner, and we've been doing pop-ups in different parts of New York, and it's been incredibly rewarding, and just a really fantastic time.
Where can we see your work?
Our website, our studio is called Goodness and Truth Studio. Okay. The website is goodnessandtruthstudio.com, and the Instagram handle is @goodnessandtruthstudio.
Can't wait to go look after the show. Eric, thank you for calling in.
Thanks so much.
Let's go to Jennifer on line two. Jennifer, I'm in the same boat you are.
Hi. Is it me, Jennifer?
It's you, Jennifer. Hi. Yeah, Jennifer, what are you working on?
Okay. Well, I'm a makeup artist, and obviously there's not a lot of face-to-face work right now, so I'm working on developing an online business to do with makeup, but I just found that last lockdown, last winter, I needed something calming. And when I was pregnant 40 years ago with my first son, I went to learn how to do needlepoint. And I was so addicted. I thought, I have to finish this. His diapers will never get changed. And I will do this again when I retire. And so I'm like, okay. I'm sort of retired because of the circumstances, and I'm like ordering some needlepoint kits, and I can't wait. It's super meditative.
Honestly, I spent an hour needlepointing last night. I am so with you on that. It is the up and down. It's the best. This is my hobby that I've returned to. Thank you for calling in, Jennifer. Libby, was there a hobby that you returned to during this period? Something that you had done as a child, or something that you had mastered or nearly mastered that you came back around to?
Yeah. So after the initial two hobby years where I was trying one new thing every week, I started trying to pick up hobbies from when I was younger. Like, I think I tried to go rollerblading. I bought a bunch of rollerblades from Modell's, and I tried to do that. Can I tell you how hard it is to rollerblade as an adult? It is the most impossible thing I've ever done in my life. I don't know how I did it as a child. And that is something I tried to get back on board with and couldn't. Something I did come back around on, I would say, is Legos. All through lockdown, I have been buying Legos. My fiance would like me to get rid of some of them because we live in a small one-bedroom apartment in Brooklyn. As you can imagine, the Legos are taking up most of the space now. But that is the hobby that I've come back around on during COVID quarantines.
My guest is Libby Siegel, the hobby hoarder. We're hearing about your hobbies that you've picked up. And ones you want to give a shout out are number 646-435-7280. Or you can tweet to us or send us a DM. Instagram and Twitter, it's the same handle. @allofitWNYC. We'll take more of your calls and talk to Libby some more after a quick break. This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. My guest is Libby Siegel, otherwise known as the Hobby Hoarder. We're talking about this hour, hobbies that you've picked up or ones that you might want to try as we hunker down for the next few months. Our number is 646-435-7280. So Libby, as you're sort of our expert during this segment, one reason a lot of people are reluctant to pick up hobbies is because they don't feel like they have enough time or enough energy. You work full time and you're one of the hardest workers I've ever met. How did you find time to do this?
Yeah, I will say finding time is definitely always the hardest part, right? I was single at the time, which I will say helped. I was able to find time for myself. I really stopped doing other social things that, you know, I might have done in the past. I stopped going out to drink. I stopped going to the bars, which also in turn helped saving money for some of these hobbies, which could get a little bit pricey. But, you know, I dedicated myself to making the time for it because I realized it was important to me. You know, I started the hobbies, I think it was February of 2012. And around the third or fourth week, I had a hobby day where I was like, oh, I'm going to go do a hobby. And then I didn't really feel like doing it. And I was like, I'm not going to go. And then a half hour later, I was like, if I don't go today, I'm not going to do it next week. And if I don't go next week, I'm not going to go the week after. So I pushed myself to find something that, you know, I was comfortable doing that didn't feel like it was going to take too much effort to get out the door to do. And then I went and did it because if I didn't do it, it was just going to be done. And I wasn't ready for it to be done. I felt really good those first few weeks that I was doing hobbies. And, you know, I wanted to keep feeling good. So I decided in that moment to make the time for something that I was finding great joy in.
What hobbies have you tried and you ended up really not enjoying? And what did you get out of those experiences?
Sure. So a couple of them involve wearing a lot of safety equipment, like helmets and wrist guards and knee guards. So unicycle riding, I found to be incredibly difficult. I can be pretty klutzy sometimes. I've, you know, broken fingers, broken hands, broken feet, sprained ankles, and unicycle riding, couldn't really find my balance on that. So, that affected me in a way that I kind of expected it to. I knew it wasn't going to go well, but I'm glad I tried it. And then I also found roller derby to be really hard. Also wearing a helmet and lots of protective gear. And I have so much respect for the people who do roller derby after trying roller derby. I mean, just getting on roller skates is hard enough, but, you know, trying to win a game at the same time. I mean, the people who do roller derby are really tough. And, you know, I have so much respect for those people. And then surfing was another one I wasn't very good at. I'm scared of the ocean. I should say that first. So I did surfing to try and get over my fear. I've kind of gotten over my fear of the ocean, but I mean, the ocean really wrecked me when I tried surfing. So it's not something I plan to do that often again.
Let's take some more calls. On line 8, we have Sepulra calling in from Passaic, New Jersey. Hi, Sepulra.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Just this week, I started a new hobby. I'm a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, and I've been working for 13 years teaching, and this year I could not go back to school. I was getting really sad about it, being home all day. And I started a new notebook, and I titled it Learn 10 New Things a Day. And ordinarily, if I hear something on the radio or I read something, I don't, you know, I'll read it or I'll hear it, and then it kind of just disappears from my head. But I'm actually now, if I hear something interesting, I'll actually write it down, or I'll take a few notes on it, and I'll actually look online and I'll research it a little bit more. And it has really like rewoken up my brain again to all the interesting things in the world around me. For example, somebody last week gifted me a pineapple, and it's been sitting on my counter for a week, and I never cut up a pineapple before. I wasn't even sure what to do with it. So I decided to put in my notebook one of my 10 new things I learn a day. I looked online on YouTube, and I learned how to very nicely cut up the pineapple, like it looked very like a caterer had done it. and I put it out for my family to eat, and I wrote in my notebook, you know, one of my 10 new things I learned a day was I learned how to cut up a pineapple. Or if I hear an interesting segment on NPR, yesterday I heard that that Elvis had been inoculated on the Ed Sullivan Show to help get teenagers to inoculate themselves for polio. And I thought that was so interesting. I didn't know Elvis had anything to do with the polio vaccine. I thought it was all Jonas Salk. So I wrote that in my notebook. I looked it up and I wrote it in my notebook, and it really has been very therapeutic to me and very awakening in terms of, you know, I am home, but there's all these cool things going on, and there's all these cool things to learn. Even if I'm not out and about in the world, I'm still home, but the world is still so exciting and interesting.
Love that. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that tip. Angry NYC gal on Twitter says, new hobby is sidewalk chalking in Hell's Kitchen. I started outside empty Broadway theaters, encouraging people to wear their masks. If they miss theater, it has turned into daily activism and joy. That's exciting. Robert is calling on line 2 from Ocean Grove, New Jersey. And you're a musician. Is that right, Robert?
Yes. I'm actually a former New York City music teacher. And my main gig has been working as an arts consultant for New York City schools, putting in dance studios and sound systems and things for the performing arts. Obviously, you know, with the performing arts having to be socially distanced, we can't do that right now. So I was putting my own personal performances on social media for a while, trying to cheer people up. And more recently, I've taken to digitizing a lot of my old vinyl I never get a chance to listen to. Now, I have so much music that has never come out on CD, and it's been very satisfying sitting in my basement using software that anybody can get. It's very satisfying to clean up your old vinyl. Music brings us together, and I've actually been sharing music with some of my friends, and it's been a way to get us all through the pandemic.
That's really great. That's so interesting. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go to Emily on line 7. Hi, Emily. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, Allison. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so basically I've been doing a lot of the housework thing. But since the pandemic that I realized something that the home economic class that I took long time ago, that I learned how to sew. And now I'm trying to make a quilt for my daughter. She is away at college, so I'm trying to make her a quilt for her.
Well, she's lucky, I would say, if mom's making a quilt. Thanks for calling in. My guest is Libby Siegel. She is the hobby hoarder. Libby, how did going down this path, what has been the most positive impact on you outside of learning new things, outside of keeping yourself occupied?
Oh, man, Allison, the great impacts are endless, but a couple of them are I have made some of my best friends in New York City through the hobby hoarder. Basically, I took this dance class and I met a group of people there that, range in age, range in diversity, ethnicity, all of that good stuff. And, you know, I did the dance parade with them. And like a month later, they were my best friends. And that was 7 years ago now. We go to brunch on New Year's Day. We go to each other's birthday gatherings. We have a WhatsApp group that, you know, we just chat every day. And so I'd say the most positive impact is that I found my people here in New York City.
What are some of the unusual hobbies that you tried out?
Oh, unusual. I don't know that I like using the word unusual just okay. Because I think, you know, everyone loves the hobby that they do. I think unusual for me was probably DDR, Dance Dance Revolution. I'm not very good at video games. So I went to a bar, I think it was in like the Lower East Side maybe, and, you know, tried my hand at Dance Dance Revolution next to a guy who was like a professional Dance Dance Revolution guy. And that was weird and strange, and I was terrible, and it was mesmerizing to watch him do it. Trying to think what else I did that I consider awkward. I did swimming with sharks an aquarium in Camden, New Jersey, which I'm not sure if they still do the swimming with sharks anymore, but that was pretty fascinating. They actually put you into a tank with a bunch of sharks, which feels a little scary, but you know, it was cool. Not my cup of tea, but it was cool. I tried so many things. What was a little awkward for me was puppeteering, but it was ventriloquism. I tried ventriloquism, which is really hard. And my teacher, she's amazing at it. She was like so good, April Brucker. She's very good at ventriloquism. She had me learn on a sock, and I just felt so awkward the whole time. But it was so neat and interesting to see just how ventriloquism works, because I just have never understood it before, right? Like I just never got it. And so that was a really good inside look. And it reminds me of what that woman was saying before. Like she's trying to learn, you know, 10 new things every single day. And that's what I loved about the hobby hoarder, was it opened up my eyes to so many things I hadn't even thought about or read about or learned about. And, you know, it just kind of expanded my knowledge book.
Let's go to Anne on line 6. Hi, Anne. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, Allison. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. What are you working on?
I'm a teacher, and like your other previous caller, I'm unable to teach this year because of a medical condition. So I'm on a leave of absence, and I thought, well, I always like to learn new things, and this is my year to learn new things. I took up some golf. And I spend my summers in Prince Edward Island, Canada. I took up a pastime, an old pastime of rug hooking. And I joined a Zoom class where we sit around with other rug hookers, not hookers, but rug hookers. and some friends that I've made. And we get together every week on Thursdays from 1 until 4. And we get together on Zoom and we hook our rugs. Now, I've made some mats and some, like, little coaster-type things. It's not like a shag rug. It's like pulling loops through linen. And I'm right now I'm designing a carpet bag, which is my biggest project ever. I jumped right in with both feet, and it's probably going to take me through the winter.
That sounds so
I've been able to buy my materials online, and get together with my friends on Zoom that are mostly in Canada, and then learn from this mentor who is a master rug hooker in Ontario who's leading this class. It's been very fun.
Sounds so great that you've got the social element in there as well. Thanks for calling. So, Libby, we're about to run out of time, and I would love if you could give our listeners just some advice, some things you learned along the way as you were taking on these new hobbies, things that can help people stay with the hobby or just get started.
Sure. So I think the most important lesson that I learned was I was capable of kind of doing anything. I had never really imagined that I was capable of doing all these things. And the only thing we're incapable of doing is being incapable as long as we try. So my first thing is get out of bed and go do something, whether it's a walk around the block, whether it's taking a picture on your cell phone, whether it's drawing, whether it's doodling, just get up and start doing something and you'll find out you're pretty much capable of anything.
Libby Siegel is the hobby hoarder. Libby, thank you for spending time with us, and I'm so happy to speak with you.
Thanks for having me. Loved it, Allison.